You'll just have to bear with me. I'm still like fully healed up from my retina surgery, and my glasses are pretty well no good. So I'm like doing this. But it's going to be okay. Y'all help me sing out, guys. All the world is bright and cheering, and I'm singing every day. In the place of burdens dreary, I sing a joyful day. He put a ray of gladness while the sorrows unsettling. Since Jesus took my heart all to pieces and put a little sunshine in it. When Jesus took my heart all to pieces and put a little sunshine in it, He put a little joy and gladness when sadness once had been. He gave a lot of
Thank you. Well, amen, amen. A few announcements, of course, a regular schedule this week. Don't forget, on Tuesday, 11 o'clock in the old church building across the road, there's a senior center at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. 6:30 on Wednesday, Awana begins, and so be praying for the young people there and all the workers involved. And then, of course, the evening service on Wednesday night, our Bible study, looking into the book of Galatians here at 7 o'clock. Community outreach there. If you know of somebody that we don't already have, maybe perhaps it comes to church and we don't have their name. If you would get their name, somebody graduated from high school or college, and we're going to give them some gifts and have some things ready for our, I don't know, what do we call that? A recognition service, I suppose, but reception and all of that. So anyway, if you know of somebody, get their name to my wife, that would be helpful. Of course, we've got a list of folks to pray for there on the left, and church information there. If you're still interested in the Walk for Life, there's room there. There's information on the back table, sponsorship sheets and things like that. You can talk to Amber if you need questions answered regarding that. And of course, Sunday school, be praying for our Sunday school. Be praying for Brother Brad Nelson, not feeling well, others not feeling well tonight, and out our missionaries there on the back. Praise the Lord, we're a part of what God is doing around the world. I think that's all the announcements, so fellas, if you'd come forward. Deacons, if we could meet real quick right after church, about 5 or 10 minutes, that would be helpful, and to just talk about a few things. So if we get a couple fellas to come take the offering tonight, that would be good. Brother Jeff Branson, would you pray for the offering, please? A testimony. Anybody got a testimony? A word of praise? Praise the Lord. Eloy got saved this morning, and so we're excited about that. Appreciate that, and all those praying for that this last week. Talked to him last week about it, and I said to him today, I said, what's keeping you from trusting Christ? You know you need it. And he said, nothing. I said, well, let's do it. Let's take care of it. And he trusted Christ this morning, so that was exciting. Praise the Lord for that. Anything else? Anybody else? Going once, going twice. All right, open your Bibles, the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis. Do a little pivot from this morning. I try to let the folks in the sound booth know and others, you know, kind of what we'll be speaking on and different things so they can have some preparation ready. But we're pivoting a little bit from what we talked about this morning and what we're going to do. But we'll look at Genesis chapter number 17. Genesis chapter number 17. I'm sorry, chapter 18. Genesis 18. Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. So they're up in years, right? and coming to the end of their lives for all intents and purposes. And God appears to Abraham here in Genesis chapter 18, let's pick it up in verse number 9. We'll, just for sake of time, we won't read the first couple verses there, but God is about to tell Abraham what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's about to tell him the punishment that's coming, the fact that he's going to destroy the city. Of course, we know the account. Abraham pleads on behalf of those that are righteous in the city that God would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And God says, okay, I'll not destroy the city if you can find, you know, a certain number. And they get all the way down to 10 righteous. If you can find 10 righteous people in the city, I won't destroy it. And of course, that didn't happen. God destroyed the city. But look at Genesis chapter 18, Genesis 18, verse number 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? They is referring to these individuals, God and two angels that were appearing to Abraham here in the tent door, as he sat in the tent door in the first part of the chapter. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, that's Abraham said, behold, in the tent. And he said, that's God, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, that's God said, nay, but thou didst laugh. I want to speak this evening on the subject of laughing at the promises of God. Laughing at the promises of God. There's an obvious reason here why Sarah did not believe she was going to have a child. She's 90 years old. The Bible clearly tells us, it clearly explains that she was past childbearing years. She was beyond those years where this was something physically possible. But God came and said, this is going to happen. It's interesting there, if you look again back at verse number 12, the Bible says, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. So this wasn't even an outward audible laugh. This was just something on the inside that she did. And nobody knew it, but God knows. And God, of course, turns to Abraham and said, why did Sarah laugh? And of course, she says, well, I didn't laugh. He said, no, you did laugh. You did laugh. He didn't say this, but I'm God, and I know you did laugh, and this is going to happen. Well, from what I understand, may I say this from our perspective? I can understand why Sarah would laugh at this. Go back to Genesis chapter number 12. Go back to Genesis chapter number 12, and we find here God calling who was Abram, later Abraham. I'm going to refer to him as Abraham, unless as we read through the scriptures, his name is Abram. But Abraham is called out of Ur of the Chaldees at the end of chapter 11 to go to a land that God is going to show him. So look at Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. It's interesting because he left Ur of the Chaldees. If you go back to chapter 11, verse 31, he left Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, but they only got as far as Haran and dwelt there. But that wasn't where God was leading him. And so God, the Bible tells us, God had said before to Abraham, look, I want you to leave everything behind, all of your family, all of your stuff, and go where I'm going to show you. Well, where is that, God? Just start walking, and when you get there, you'll know. Yeah, okay, right? You know, but he did. He left things. Of course, Lot went with him. We understand his nephew Lot went with him. Anyway, verse number 2 of chapter 12. God says, speaking here, he says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him,
And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, skip forward to Genesis chapter 15, if you would. Look over to Genesis chapter 15. 13 years have passed from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15. In that amount of time, we don't really find God talking much to Abraham. And when Lot came out of, when there was strife between Lot and Abram and their seed, and God brought him forth and showed him the stars of the heaven, he said, that's going to be like your seed as the sand of the seashore. You're going to have that many children. You're going to have that. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, the problem with that was he didn't have any kids. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Sarah was barren. And so she couldn't have children, but yet God has given him this promise. So look at Genesis chapter 15 here and watch what happens here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? God, you gave me a promise, you gave me your word that you'd make a great nation out of me, you'd make my seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the sea. I don't have any kids. How's this going to work? How are you going to make a great nation out of me, God? And the only person I have to pass anything on to is the manager or the steward of my house, Eliezer. I don't have any offspring. I have no heir. Look at verse number four. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, he cut them in half, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. So he's got half of a heifer here, and one on one side, half a goat on each side, half of a ram on each side, and then a turtle dove and a pigeon, one on each side. And they're kind of lined up on the ground, if you will. Verse number 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, that's God said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. That was a prophecy of the Exodus out of Egypt. Okay, remember when they left Egypt, the Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, the Egyptians just said, take anything you want, just get out of here. Remember all the 10 plagues, and they were tired of it. Okay, so keep reading, verse number 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. Go back to verse number 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So, if we think that modern day Israel is what God gave Abraham, we're wrong. He gave them all the land, all the way beginning down in Egypt, all the way up to the river Euphrates, which is in the modern-day country of Iraq. Right? Okay? That whole area in there was what God gave to the Jewish people. I'm not going to get into all of that, but something to take note of, especially in the world we're living in, the things we're hearing about in that part of the world. Verse 19, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgasites and the Jebusites. Keep going. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So what happened here? God gave Abraham a promise. He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. All the nations of the world are going to be blessed in you. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. And this is my covenant with you. He had Abram divide some animals, and he made what is referred to in this time period as a blood covenant. It was where two people would take animals, divide them up, tie their wrists together, and then walk between those pieces and make a blood covenant that was not supposed to be broken to penalty of death. But notice, Abram didn't walk down between those two pieces. It was only God. And what God was telling Abram was, look, of a surety, remember that wording? Of a surety, this is going to happen. Now, we already saw back there in chapter 15 that Abraham believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. That's where Abraham, in our modern day Christianity terms, that's where Abraham got saved, okay? He believed God, he believed what God had said was going to happen, was true, and would happen, and God counted it to him for righteousness. We find more about that later on in Romans. We're not going to, again, take time to look at all that. But God walks down between these animals without Abraham. Basically, what he was saying was, I don't care what you do, Abraham. I'm going to keep my word. May I say, to penalty of death, if need be. Now, we know that God is a covenant-making God, but he's also a covenant-keeping God. And this promise made several times up until then, but God, if I can say it this way, I think you understand what I'm saying. God got serious, or at least he let Abraham know he was serious about this, because Abraham's looking around going, I don't have any kids, and the only person in my household is this steward, this person who's managing my household, and God, you've given me this promise. How is this going to happen? Well, Sarah gets an idea. Unfortunately, we're all still suffering for today as a result of that. She says, look, I'm childless. I don't have any child. I have a handmaid. Go in unto my handmaid. Have children by her. That way God can keep his promise through the handmaid. You know, it's a very dangerous thing to take over for God. You know, we just make a big mess out of things, don't we? And as a result of that, we now have what we're dealing with today, the struggle between Isaac and Ishmael, the Jews and the Arabs. And you can go, and again, we're not going to get into all the ins and outs of all of those types of things, but we are still dealing with the consequences of that poor choice that Abraham and Sarah made. Of course, as a result of that union, a child is born. Look down at verse number four. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Hagar goes into the wilderness, takes Ishmael with her, casts him under a bush. God promises to protect him, make a great nation out of him. Now go to chapter 17 now, and verse number 1. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere. Chapter 17, verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. For sake of time, skip over to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now watch this. Then Abraham fell on his face. You ever seen that before? And laughed. We talk about Sarah's laughter all the time, don't we? But did you know Abraham laughed at God's promise too? That's interesting, isn't it? May I submit to you that these two individuals, Abraham and Sarah, and their laughter were two totally different kinds of laughter and driven by two totally different motivations. Keep reading. Look at verse 17 again. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And God left off speaking to Abraham. So we find Sarah, we know we're well versed in the fact that Sarah laughed at God. It's a very well known thing. A lot of people talk about that, and maybe appropriately, inappropriately, I don't know, are critical of her for that. But understand this also, Abraham laughed too. When God told Abraham, knowing that Sarah would hear it, okay, that she would have a child, he had already told Abraham a year before before Sarah heard it, he had already told Abraham a year previous that she was going to have a child. And he had restated or reestablished his covenant with Abraham. Abraham laughed at God. He laughed at the promise that God said he was going to fulfill. You say, well, what is the difference? Go over to chapter 18 again now, verse number. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life, for thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. You see, Sarah's laughter was a laughter of removed contentment. Removed contentment. She had tried to take over for God. She had tried to take the place of God. And she failed. As a matter of fact, she failed miserably. Abraham, in wanting his first son by Hagar, the handmaid, to be blessed also, perhaps without thinking long enough about it, blurted out after God said, Sarah's gonna have a child and so on. He said, well, what about Ishmael? Will you bless him too? Oh man, Abraham, why'd you do that? But he's the father. He wants his children to succeed. And as a result of that, God promised to make of Ishmael a great nation. Again, as I stated before, we have the conflict, especially the world, between Isaac and Ishmael. But what was going on here? Sarah no longer the way I see it anyway, as I'm reading through this and as much as possible putting myself in her situation, she's not content anymore. Because God has made a promise to make her husband the father of many nations, and she has no children. So whose fault is it then that he's not the father of many nations? May I submit, she's not blaming God, she's blaming herself. Her contentment has been removed. And when God comes and says, Sarah's going to have a child, now she's 90 years old, she's no longer of childbearing age, she's no longer physically capable of having a child, she says, are you kidding me? What? There's no way. That's impossible. But what does God say? What is the question that God asks there in verse number 14? Look at it in the first part of the verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can I just stop and say this? From a human side of it, to some extent, I feel kind of sorry for Sarah. She's 90 years old and now she's going to have a baby. Poor thing. Bless her heart, right? Good night. It was rough enough when you were 20 and 30, right? Ladies, now she's 90 years old and she's got to go through all of that, all the discomfort, all the pain, all the difficulty, and all those types of things. She's 90 years old. And she's going, there's no way. She's laughing within herself. She's thinking to herself, there's no way this is possible. No, please. I can almost hear her say, please, God, don't let it be. Don't let it be, But she laughs at God's promise. Why? Because the contentment that she once knew with the relationship with her husband and her family had been removed. Why? Because she had tried to take over for God. She gave her handmaid to Abraham, and he fathered a child with her. And as soon as that happened, Sarah was despised in Hagar's eyes. We read it there in the Bible. And so now the woman of the house, who's supposed to be in charge, who's supposed to be the leader, who's supposed to take care of all the things, now is being despised by the servant, the handmaid. She's no longer content. May I say this also? If you look here, look at verse number 10 again. Genesis 18:10, and he said, God said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now watch this. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now I understand there's certain customs during this time period, and people acted certain ways, and maybe some things that we're not used to, and we're not accustomed to because in our Western civilization, all that type of thing. But I think it's kind of interesting that some strangers appear and Abraham is the only person that talks with them. What was going on here? There was restrained communion with God. She was holding back. God had appeared to Abraham. And Abraham knew it was God. As we see, of course, particularly beginning in verse 16 and later, but even before that, he recognized the fact that there was something special about one of these three individuals. There was something different about them. And I believe he recognized it as God. Now, whether he told anybody else or not, I don't know. But I would assume, and maybe I shouldn't, but I would assume that when company comes over, mama takes over, right? She's going to come out, she's going to dote and take care of things and make sure they have something to drink, make sure their feet are washed, do all those types of things. Again, there are some cultural differences, I understand all of that, but she never showed herself, even when this conversation's going on, she's hiding back around behind the curtain over here, and Jesus, God is out here, this is actually an Old Testament appearance of Jesus, many believe, but God is out here talking to Abraham, and she's behind the tent door, she's listening. But she's not about to step out here and talk to God herself. Restrained communion. She was holding back. She didn't want to commit fully. to God and what he was going to accomplish here. And when God said, look, you're going to have a child, no way, no way. Within herself, no way, it's impossible, it can't happen. God said, oh, time out, time out. Do you know who I am? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You are going to have a child, whether you like it or not, you're going to have a child. I don't think he said that, but he said, you're going to have a child about this time next year. You're going to have a child. And what did God do? God sealed the promise and fulfilled what it was that he had, the covenant that he had made with Abraham 13 years previous to this. Now go back to Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at Abraham after now. Look at Abraham after. Again, look at it in verse number 15, Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Now notice this also, and said in his heart. The action was in her heart, internally. Abraham's response was in his heart also. He said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Abraham laughed. What was going on here? What's the difference? What's the difference in Abraham's laughter? May I say this? Abraham laughed because he had restored communion. Go back to chapter 16. Genesis 16, verse number 16. And Abraham was 86 years old. That's 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Look at verse 1 of chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect. 13 years from the time that Ishmael was born until God came back again and spoke to Abram again. 13 years without any word from God. And God shows up. And Abram says, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you didn't forget me. I remember when you called me out of Ur of the Chaldees. I remember you said, go to that land, and I stopped in Haran, and I know I shouldn't have, and I did, and you called me out of there, and I kept going, and you showed me the land where I was supposed to go, and then Lot and I had that little kerfuffle there, and we got things straightened out, and he went one way, I went the other way, and you showed me all that land there, and you brought me out and showed me the stars of the heaven, and you promised me, and then we did that blood covenant sacrifice there, and you promised, God, you made the covenant. It's been 13 years since I've heard from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for continuing to be faithful. Thank you for your continued promise, for your covenant to me. Thank you, God, for this renewed communion. I haven't spoken to you for 13 years. And here you are now. Thank you. Abraham laughed. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Can I say it this way? I still got it, right? You know, Abraham's going, I still got God on my side. God's still with me. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. He's still with me. He's still there. Praise the Lord. And he laughs. Restored communion. And again, go back to chapter 17 there. Look at that passage there again. Verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. He already said it in verse 16. He's saying it again in verse 19. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. You see, Abraham's laughter was a laughter of renewed covenant. Restored communion and renewed covenant. You see, Sarah laughed because she had removed contentment. Her contentment had been gone. She was not fulfilling the role and the duty that she felt like she needed to because God had given her husband a promise. She was unable to have a child. God had not blessed her that way. And so her contentment had been removed. Her communion was restrained. And when God said, you're going to have a child, she said, no way. Impossible. It'll never happen. God said, be careful. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You will have a child. It's going to happen. God appeared to Abram a year before that. And Abram said, you haven't forgotten me, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And Abraham laughed too. You see, there's two kinds of laughter. There's a negative kind and a positive kind. Abraham realized that God was still in control and God was still at work and God was still going to use him, and he laughed a joyful laughter, a laughter of communion and fellowship and restoration and renewal. It was a laughter that was a positive thing that, oh man, this is, you've done it. Man, that's great. Unbelievable. That's great. Sarah, on the other hand, said, there's no way. There's no way. And what do we find happening? God's word being fulfilled. Look at chapter 18. I'm sorry. Go to chapter, where'd it go? I just had it a moment ago. Chapter 21. Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. It happened. It happened. Why? Because God keeps his word. God keeps his word. God's going to tell you something. He's going to lead you in a way. I don't know what way it is, but God's going to lead you. God has been leading you. What kind of laughter will you give back to him? Of praise the Lord. I'm so excited that God is still using me. I'm so thankful that God hasn't forsaken me. Or will it be, ain't no way that's going to happen. No way. That's never going to happen. You see, our response will be one of those two things to what God is trying to do in and through our lives. Father, help us with this truth. I thank you for the example we have in Abraham and Sarah, and I thank you for the exhortation we have to respond properly to what you've covenanted with us, what you've promised us. I thank you for your word, how it leads us and guides us. Father, help us in the times where what you say seems impossible. Help us to trust. Help us not to doubt. Help us to believe. And God, help us to be open to allow your will to be accomplished in our lives. Father, forgive us for the times we laugh Sarah's laughter. And help us and strengthen us to be able to laugh Abraham's laughter. Help us, Lord, in Christ's name. Stand with me if you would. Piano's going to play. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart. The altar's open. You talk to the Lord right where you are. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about something specific or something he's been dealing with you all week about. I don't know. Whatever it is, you talk to the Lord about it.
On a hill far away,
Leslie, for filling in tonight. Didn't you do a great job? And it's funny because this morning, and when she came in, I said, you know, I've heard you've played the piano. She said, I don't know, it's been a while. I said, oh, it's like riding a bike. Just get back on and you'll know. Did a great job. Appreciate that. And my daughter's sick and Terry stayed home with her husband, so I appreciate her filling in there. And tell somebody about Jesus this week. Deacons, real quick, if we could meet just for real brief, 5 or 10 minutes. I promise it won't be long. I just need to give you some information. And tell somebody about Jesus this week. That'd be good. Any word of announcement? Anybody have anything before we go? Anybody need to say anything? Amen. Amen. Talked about earlier, Aloy got saved this morning. Be praying for his family now. And pray for Antonio. To be able to have an impact there and influence in their lives. So anyway, pray them into heaven, right? So praise the Lord for that. Anything else? Anything else? Brother Casey, would you lift your voice, please, and dismiss us in prayer?